Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. It's Wednesday, August 26, 2015. Wow, what a week thus far. On the Monday edition of Mark and Friends, we featured Dr. Greg Dystra, who is like a part of the founding board, and I think he was one of the first principals. Even before Judah Christian became a school, there was like a Champaign-Urbana Christian school, and then kind of evolved into the Judah Christian school, and these now 30 years as God has worked through various staff and boards and brought them to this point where now they've had their Field of Dreams ribbon cutting grand opening. And so we learned some of the history of Judah Christian School and some of Greg's testimony, even an angelic sighting he had in Spain. It was one of those where the hairs on his arm went up as he recounted a unique way that he felt God used an angelic presence to lead him to do something to reach out to some Muslims. So that was the Monday edition of Mark and Friends, which is archived at greatnewsradio.org. Then yesterday, Joe Thomas, he's the Executive Director of Institutional Advancement. How would you like that for a title? But he's helping raise awareness of the three phases that Judah Christian School is in. They're currently in the first phase, and then they'll continue with building and that new campus out on Rising. And so you heard some of Joe's testimony yesterday and how God has raised him up and how he's raising awareness of where God is leading Judah Christian School. So it was fun on Monday and Tuesday to have those two different guests in the studio. And now we have you, Jason, and we've been talking a little about end times and upcoming events and politics and other things that are happening in our community. But I know there's two specific things coming up in September at the Community Evangelical Free Church, and Great News Radio is happy to help promote it and sponsor it or be a part of things. So give our listeners a little heads up so they can pull out their September calendar or their iPad or their day timer or all the different mechanisms or means that you can remember when something's going to come up. So pull those out now and please share with us what's happening.
Well, on September 6th, we're going to have Peggy Shapiro. She's the Midwest Director for Stand With Us. And so that's a Jewish advocacy organization. And she's going to be sharing just about this Iran deal. She's one of the people who has actually gone through, read the literature, understands some of the finer points. And so her job is not to come and to woo us towards one position or the other, but she wants to come and just simply inform us, to help us to understand what's in there so that we can make those decisions for ourselves. And then she's going to give us an opportunity to be able to speak up and speak out via a letter writing campaign. She's got a bunch of samples, and you can either write your own or you can fill it in. She's even offered to pay for all the postage and everything. The idea is it's that Miracle on 34th Street moment where you can send an email to your senator or your congressman, or you can call them, and those are probably like a thorn in their side. But nothing clogs up the works like getting bags of mail, lots of mail. And so, you know, it's that moment at the end of Miracle on 34th Street where in the courtroom they're trying to figure out if the guy is really Saint Nick or not, and they start bringing in the mail and they start dumping it, and the judge is inundated with letters. And so that's the idea. So there's going to be a letter writing campaign part to this where you can come and be a part of that.
And that's going to be happening September 6th, Sunday night at 6 p.m. at the Community Evangelical Free Church in Mahomet. And I think we'll have her featured either next Monday or Tuesday or Friday. Sometime next week, we'll get her on a phone line and have her answer some of the questions. What's wrong with the Iran deal? Why should we be concerned? What are some of the maybe potential pitfalls? Because I think so many of us were influenced by the media. We hear these little sound bites, and some are saying it's a wonderful deal. It's great. It's really going to resolve some things. And then there's a whole another group that say this is the worst thing possible. We should never enter into this. And so I think because she has so much knowledge and I think has read the 116-page or whatever document line by line and really is going to help educate us on various positions and why, in fact, this may be a very, very bad deal, not just for the United States, but for the world.
Yeah, you know, I think what we do sometimes with political issues, and we do it wrongly so, is we take those issues and we divide them from the Bible. So we have the biblical text over here, and over here we have political issues and the media. And so we allow the media to inform political issues. Media, when I say that, I mean cable news or newspapers or whatever it is, the internet, all those things. We allow that to inform us and form our opinions on those issues. And so therefore, whoever is your favorite newscaster, your favorite commentator, your favorite whatever, he becomes suddenly your expert on that issue. And what I'm finding more and more that I have is, with conversations with Christians, is that they don't know what the Bible says. Or when challenged, they can't go back and say, well, how does this line up with what God's Word says? Because as a Christian, that has to be in the forefront. That has to be the first thing we do, is we say, what would God do? I mean, it's almost, you know, the what would Jesus do bracelet, you know. But it's not really what would Jesus do, but what did God say? What did he say about this issue? And how will that impact how I address this issue and how I take part in this issue? You know, and so we need to do that because we need to be good gospel witnesses. We need to see how in the midst of this thing, where is it heinous, but then how are we still called to love in it too? You know, because yeah, this is a bad Iranian deal. I mean, I would just say that just knowing what I know about it. But there are good Iranian people. And so I need to be praying for those people, and I need to be figuring out, is there any way that in the midst of this, you know, in the midst of bad leadership, which the Bible tells us many times, you know, bad kings and bad leaders, but the people, there was always a remnant of people. There's always a people there who were not going along with that particular evil or wicked stream of thought. And so how do we pray for those people? Now, the second thing that's on the calendar is September 25th. Now, there's a large group of you who are listening right now. I think we had 85 to 90 folks who showed up for last month's Conversation Matters on Islam and Christianity. And I know because I got a feedback from a couple of people. They said we were expecting something more or different. And so I just want to speak to you for a minute, because what we purposely did, was offer a 101. It was a very basic conversation. And the reason for that was because, again, we're being so well informed by the media, wrongly, that many of us don't have a good foundation. If we were to look at that foundation that we have to understand Islam, we'd find a lot of potholes. We'd find a lot of cracks. You don't have a good, smooth, solid piece of foundation because you've received this little bit of information, this little bit of information, this little bit of information, and you have somehow had to yourself construct what that means. You'd have to construct your own worldview. So we wanted to offer a very basic 101. This next month, September 25th at 6 p.m. at the Community Evangelical Free Church of Muhammad.
And that is a Friday night. I just
want
to make sure
it's
not the typical Sunday nights that we've had in the past, because Awana goes on during Sunday.
Yeah, I love all you guys, but I want kids to grow closer to God. And so we're moving that to Friday night, because Sunday night becomes our Awana night. And so Bob Sievers is going to come back, and what he's going to do is he's going to walk us through Islam and the end times and how that matches up and how it is very different for Christianity. Because, listen, how you view the end informs how you live today. If I believe that the end is coming tomorrow and it's going to be heinous and da-da-da, I'm going to be storing rice in my basement and buying bullets and getting bottled water. I'm going to be doing all those things. If you believe that the end is glorious because you're going to be with Christ, and you believe that your job is to stand as a light and witness Christ, no matter when the end comes, you're sharing the gospel and you're reaching out and loving people and you're trying to move people towards the Lord. And so how we live is really informed by what we believe by the end. And what you're going to find in Islam, and I don't want to steal any of Bob's thunder, is that the things that Muslims do today is informed by the way that what they believe about the future, what they believe about what the future will look like. That informs. Once you understand that, you go, I understand why they do the things that they do today. And so that's going to be exciting, because that's where, I mean, if you felt underwhelmed last time, you're going to be overwhelmed this time, mm-hmm. because Bob and I had a conversation about it, and it was fascinating and enlightening. And I just had to, you know, kind of pick my jaw up a few times, because I thought, wow, this is really, really crazy stuff. And so that's going to be on September 25th at 6 p.m. at the Community Evangelical Free Church of Muhammad. And just keep in mind, again, that is a Friday night, not a Sunday night. And you don't have to register for this event. We're going to do it in the big room so that we can record it and do that. And so come one, come all, bring your friends, and we'll just have tons of resources available and have all that. But I think it's going to be a really great time.
So these are both in September, September 6th, Sunday night, 6 p.m., with Peggy Shapiro. She's the Midwest Director of Stand With Us. And then Friday night, September 25th. Is that also at 6 p.m.?
That is. We like that time, 6 p.m.
Keep it it simple and get that on your calendar and come join us, as it'll be an evening of information, inspiration, and what's best is biblically we can look at it and examine.
Sure.
And that reminds me, before we went on the air, we were talking about the end times. And, you know, if we literally buy into, I mean, we know we're in the end times, we don't know when it's going to come, but if we knew, and we don't know, we're not proclaiming like we know a date, but if we were under the impression it was going to happen at the end of September, how would we live our lives differently? I mean, what would we be doing if we knew Jesus' imminent return was happening at the end of next month? How would we live? And what would be our priorities, Jason, or what should be our priorities as biblically we're informed and listening to the Spirit's leading?
Well, Jesus told us in Acts, in the beginning chapter, the disciples said, "When will the kingdom come?" And Jesus said, "It's not for you to know the days and times that have been appointed by the Father, but be my witnesses in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." And so when asked this question, Jesus says, "Only the Father knows." Now what Jesus sets us up for in that moment is this idea that it is imminent. It could happen at any moment. The end could be here now. I mean, Mark and I could just take a long pause and you could wonder if, you know, we're no longer here or what happened.
And what's that mean that you're left behind?
But, you know, imminent, and yet it's also unknown. We don't know. This past weekend in the service, I talked about Isaiah chapter 36 and 37. And 36 and 37 come out of understanding the gospel. And really, you could summarize the Christian life utilizing two verses, Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 8, which says, "He being Abraham went not knowing where he was going." And then 2 Timothy 1:12, which says, "I know for whom I have believed upon," Paul writing to Timothy. So for me, the whole of the Christian life is embodied in these two verses, which is, I don't know where, but I know whom. I don't know where, but I know whom. So I don't know when. And listen to me, if you have to know the when, the why, the where, in order for you to be obedient to God, then you're not faithful to God. You don't have faith in God. Because faith in God is in the minutes when there's ambiguity, when there's unknown things. That's faith. Faith is when you don't know what's going to happen, but you know whom you have believed upon. You know that you have put all your faith and your trust in God, and He's going to care for you, and you live not of this world, but you live with one foot in the next world. And so every day you're just going, well, one day closer. I don't know when it is, but I know we're one day closer. So you live differently. And I think if you believe, if you're somebody who believes we're in the end times and you're not sharing the gospel, how unloving are you? If you believe that time is short, if you believe that Jesus Christ is going to come back, that the hour, the unknown hour, and the clouds are going to part and He's going to come. If you believe that and you are not sharing the gospel with everybody possible because people are perishing, dying right before your eyes, not just physically and momentarily, but eternally. If you believe that and you're not sharing the gospel, then how unloving are we? And as we see the world continually and increasingly sliding, you know, it's fascinating, Mark, as I was reading the other day about the gentleman who killed those military guys down in Chattanooga, Tennessee, those Army-Navy recruiters, Marine recruiters. He killed those guys. When they went and they opened up his computers, the investigator's laptop from the day before he did that act, you know what he was searching for on the Internet? Remission of sins. He was asking the question, how do I get rid of the junk? How do I deal with my sin? How do I deal with my sinful self? He was asking the question that the gospel answers. And so we need to be about the work of the gospel, because the gospel answers every broken thing in the world, because it answers it with Jesus Christ. And the gospel is, for those of you who don't know what the gospel is, I want to share for a second. The gospel is that a just and gracious Creator has looked upon hopelessly sinful men and women and has sent His Son, Jesus Christ, God in the flesh, to bear His wrath against sin on the cross and to show His power over sin in the resurrection, so that everyone who turns from their sin and themselves and trusts in Jesus as Savior and Lord will be reconciled to God forever. I mean, that's the gospel. It's the most precious and pressing thing that we have today, that's in our day. Every other issue that we face is smaller than that. Every other issue, whether it's political, whether it's any other issue that we deal with is smaller than disbelief in God, because disbelief in God cares for every single one of those other issues. And so we need to be about the work of the gospel. Be about sharing that saving message that Jesus Christ has come. And he didn't just come to care for some of your sins, but every single one of them. And therefore, you know, we live in that Christian Declaration of Independence that is, actually I would call it a Christian Declaration of Dependence in Romans 8, where it says, therefore there is no condemnation in Christ Jesus. Mm-hmm. That's how it begins in Romans 8, 1. And the end of Romans in the 30th verse and on, what does it say? No one can separate you from the love of Christ. Not sword or angels or demons or powers or principalities or whatever. No height, no depth, no width. Nothing can keep you from the love of Christ Jesus. Mm-hmm. And so that Romans 8, which tells us that not only has God got you, not only has God blessed you and saved you, but he's keeping you. That means you can't get thrown away. You can't get tossed away. You live with the assurance that Christ is Lord. And so I think you live like that. I mean, you know, maybe if we came to that moment in the flesh, I would be fearful, but I'm not scared of dying. I mean, if I died tomorrow, I was thinking about the other day. I don't know why, but I was just, when Skip went to the hospital, Skip Doval does a lot with this radio ministry. When we got news that he got hit by a motorcycle, or he's hit on his motorcycle by a pickup truck, and he went to the hospital. We went there, and so we're in the room there, and we get there, and Skip is doing good. I mean, for Skip, he's got a big smile on his face. He's like, "I'm so blessed." I'm like, "You're all scraped up." He's like, "Yeah, but I'm blessed." But when we got there, they had just brought in a 2-year-old who had been underwater for 45 minutes and who had died, and your heart goes out. Your heart goes out. But then there's another part of me that just goes, I'm not fearful. Because what a great moment where Jesus comes and he retrieves us at his appointed hour and delivers us, as Jude chapter 1 in verse 24 says, into the presence of God without blemish and with great joy. And so that's why the Apostle Paul could say, "Oh, death, where is your sting? You don't even bother me anymore." So I'm not afraid of dying. Now, maybe if I come to that moment, there'll be some fear. But you know what? I don't know if that fear will ever override the glorious moment where heaven opens up and Christ, I don't even know how it looks, and Christ kind of comes and gets you. And you're delivered.
And I kind of set you up with that question because earlier we were talking about some of those Facebook posts with the four blood moons and just all the time and energy that people are pouring into talking about this and contemplating and speculating. And it's like you're putting all this energy and time and effort and resources. And it's like, if you really believe the end times are that imminent, that close, then go out and preach God's word. Stop reading more about the end times or just trying to figure everything out. Go out and share the good news message of Jesus if you really think that things are ending soon.
Yeah, I don't want to address all those things because, again, for me, they're lesser. Not that they're not important. I mean, maybe there's some wisdom in there. I really don't know. I haven't even applied myself enough to them. But this is what I know, is that when Jesus is asked the question, Jesus says, "It's not for you to know," which means that no matter how well-informed we are, how wise we are, how wonderful we are at being able to interpret events in Scripture and all those things, there is a piece of it that we will always be missing. And that piece is the piece that only God knows, the piece that only God understands. And Paul called it many times in the epistles. He said, "This mystery that I bring to you, this mystery of the gospel, this mystery of how a person is saved and when they're saved and how they're saved and why they're saved." I mean, it's a mystery. There's a piece of it that you don't understand. If you understand your salvation, then you won't be blown away by it. You won't be blown away by what God has done in your life. And so those kinds of things, I keep seeing more and more of all those different things popping up. And God, me personally, God keeps impressing upon my heart how important it is, how burdened we must be with the gospel. In fact, God is, I won't say spoken, but God has moved powerfully in the last number of months where the gospel for our church is preeminent. It's the most important thing that we'll do. And it's one of the things that we'll talk about nonstop. In fact, I pulled everybody who does a ministry in our church and I said, I want you to tell me how that ministry applies to the gospel. how it moves the gospel forward. Our Awana program this year is going to be gospel-fueled and gospel-driven. We want to see kids who hear the gospel and who react to the gospel. First and foremost, we want them to hear it so that they know what the gospel message is. But then I also want for them to hear it, and maybe they'll go somewhere else and say it. Maybe we'll get some kids who will arrive back home and they'll preach the gospel to their parents. And at the end of the day, what a wonderful moment would be when God uses the gospel to save somebody, when he reveals to them Jesus Christ in that moment. You know, I just did a baptism this past weekend, and it was an amazing moment. Once again, you know, the baptism is just this great reminder of God at work in our midst, that he is still seeking and that he is still saving. But the wonderful part about the baptism that we did at our church this past weekend is we baptized this little girl. I mean, she's 10 years old. And she was nervous, you know, as 10-year-old is, and she's just kind of, and all these people, and she's got to get in the water in front of them and the whole nine yards. And she gets in the water, you know, as timid as could be. You know, she's powerful. I'm not ashamed of the gospel, but she, you know, she's just nervous because there's all these people. And she gets in the water, and she goes under the water, and she comes back out of the water, and she says, you can see her eyes are as big as plates because people are cheering. Mm. And, you know, and so you would just look at her, and you would say, this is not a gospel powerhouse. And yet after the service, some adult comes to me with tears in their eyes and says, I've accepted Jesus Christ, and I want to get in that water too. Mm-hmm. And so God uses the weak things, the foolish things, to confound the wise and to reveal Christ. And so, you know, I just want to be about that, because I'm going to tell you what, we can get excited about all kinds of things, but all those things, in my opinion, all are lesser than the actual joy, the deep kind of joy that comes when you are with somebody when they accept Jesus Christ.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I couldn't even, Sunday morning when that person came up to me with tears in her eyes and kind of just said, I couldn't even talk. I mean, I was just like, you're kind of kidding me.
Mm.
I mean, and when I'm taking little Anjanette and I'm putting her under the water and I'm telling her, do you believe that Jesus, blood covers over everything? And I'm putting her under the water, I can't talk almost.
Mm.
Because that moment is so weighty, it's so wrought with power and with joy and with majesty. And so, I mean, you want to be fueled, Christian, then share the gospel. You want to be fueled, then stand there when somebody gets saved. You want to be fueled, get out in the middle of a lake or a pool or wherever it is and baptize somebody. And all of a sudden you'll go, you know what, those things over there, they're interesting, but this is what really matters.
And all of God's people said, amen, amen.
They're going to say Ahab.
No, we're celebrating. This is like the doxology. Thanks for listening. Thanks for being a part of this radio listening family. This is Mark Burns and Pastor Jason Schiffel with the Ministry of Great News Radio. God bless you and have a great day and night.